Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game, analysis from the player's point of view. Injuries, big trades, player news. Yeah, sector competition, and he played with Tony Dungy. Better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz.
Set everything you need and more. Yeah.
Big Game Sports Buzz.
I thought I told you once before. We call him
Big Game James.
Yeah,
Big Game James. Big Game James.
What's up, everybody? That's right. It is that time of the week, the time for you to sit back, relax, and chill, because guess who is here? It is us. It's time for Big Game Sports Buzz, where the sports fanatic and the pro athlete get together and talk about sports and everything else around it. I am Jay Stoggs, the Buff Nerd. Let's go. And of course, I don't know why you're laughing. And of course, I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the one who laughs. And why I cast what is Big Game James. What up, man? How you feeling?
What up? What up, Stoggs? Everything good, man?
Bluetooth connected.
Man, you know, we're trying to make this thing happen, brother. We're trying to make this thing happen. But I'm gonna make it through. But no, doing our way.
Yeah, it is. Okay. All right.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on in sports. That we definitely gonna break it down. But before we of course, do that. Keep sure that you like, subscribe, ring the bell so that you know when your favorite podcast on the BGSE Network, Big Game Sports and Entertainment Network, where sports and entertainment collide, are coming to you. Of course, you can watch on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, all those other things, but you can listen to us also on any platform where you listen to your favorite podcast, such as Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon, and all of that.
I mean, we got to shorten this up, boy. This intro is getting longer every week.
That's it. I'm done.
Sure.
Wow. It's gonna be fun. Look, tonight's top five. Let me go ahead and get y'all ready. Make sure you chat with us as well. We always like to read your comments and tell you that you're wrong. Top five tonight. Top five championship rings of all time, all sports. I'm very excited about this. This is fun. So
yeah, I'm not.
You never are. Just hate. I don't know why. Just a hater. Don't hate.
I'll tell you why when we get to the segment, Jay. And it's not bad. It's not because of you. It's really just because of, and every sport, all these rings going back in time. Come on, bro.
Bro, that's why we do what we do. And that's why this segment is one of the best in all of podcasts to them. So, hey, without further ado, let's get into these four downs, man.
It's time for the four downs. That's right. The hottest sports news around. BGSB presents Four Downs.
Ooh, intros. Okay. Okay. My bad. Hey, sorry. We ain't got the time. Nice intro. DJ Big Game right there. First down. Caitlin Clark has become women's basketball.
Boy.
Let's just put it up. She has become women's basketball. Like, you used to remember basketball players, women's basketball players you have forgotten them now because now all you know is Caitlin Clark. Ice Cube has recognized this and said, you know what, CC, let me tell you something. Holler at me. $5 million, play 10 games in the big three. Here's the other kick. Here's the kicks to this. Rookie salary in the WNBA, $64,000 to $76,000. So there's word on the street that you know, she's already said she's going to the WNBA. She's like, right. I'm good. I'm good. Ice Cube. Thanks. No thanks.
Jay, I think it's a couple things, man. One, first and foremost, you know, the salary, I had to dig into this a little bit and look it up about, you know, women's basketball and salary like this. And the comparison that Caitlin Clark is getting, they, everyone's calling her the female version of Steph Curry and what she's going to do for the WNBA, right? And we talk about that. And we, and trust us, guys, we've talked about this numerous times. We know why there is a price difference in pay. Because of ad revenue, so we're not, you know, we're not going down that route of saying that the women's game needs to be making XYZ more than the men are comparable to the men. But you look at it to where smart play by Ice Cube, but Caitlin Clark's like, look, I'm going to the WNBA, I'm going to be the number one pick. She's going to get, you know, picked by the Indiana Fever, and I think they got Alicia Boston from was she from South Carolina a couple year ago? That's a phenomenal player. They're going to be able to build a great team. But I think Ice Cube looked at this from a business standpoint like, hey, look, I got all these old, retired dudes playing in my league. Young cats that's trying to get back to the NBA or to the G League. Why don't we bring this hot commodity now and get this person in the league? Genius. But Jay.
Absolutely.
Do you think Caitlin Clark even really considers it? I mean, dude, $5 million, 10 games?
I have to think someone in her camp said, hey, look, because here's the thing. It's a story, right? That's a big, big story right now. But someone definitely had said to someone in the sports media, yo, this Ice Cube is offering to play in the big three, right? And yeah, you're talking about has-beens and have-nots and never-will-bes are in the big three at this point.
Did you say never-will-bes?
Never-will-bes. Okay. Never-will-bes. All right. Okay? Yeah, that's them. These are the and-one guys, right, that didn't make it. And I'm not saying they don't have skills, but they play a different band, a brand, of basketball that are in the big three.
Have you been I'm not mad at you, bro. It is what it is.
Have you seen the big three tournament? I watch it when it comes to Dallas.
I like it. It's a different brand. Half court basketball. It's a different
brand. No.
This is my
thing. The question.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, here's the real question, though, right? Do you think she can hang in big three with guys?
See, that's what I was about to ask you. If she goes to the big three, if she goes to the big three and doesn't fare well, does it then hurt her going back to her WNBA? I don't really think it would, because at the end of the day, it's going to be like, look, she's playing with men. So maybe not. Then some guys will probably do their best to try to dog her out.
Like,
I'm going to make an example. I'm going to make sure I block every shot. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It would be rough. But at the same time, it's interesting to see, because she could probably she could go to the big three for those 10 games and then go to the W, and she would make more in those 10 games than she would probably make the livelihood of her WNBA contract.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. When we're talking about salary, but here's the other part that we got to make sure we understand about this, why she's like, yo, why she can go to the WNBA. She's getting endorsements. She's going to get paid off of these endorsements. She's going to get She's already got millions in NIL. She's going to get even more coming out. So that paltry $76,000, hey, cool, whatever. Because she's looking at it from a growing the women's game standpoint. that.
And I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that because the women's game needs that growth. They need that part of it. Are you on trash, Jay?
Yeah, yeah, I got you. And I saw you. I appreciate you.
But at the same time, I guess it's what you all love. And this is the thing. For someone like Caitlin Clark, just like it was my dream to play in the NFL and other guys, you know, people's dream to play in the NBA and the MLB, it was probably her dream to play in the WNBA, right? Because she talked about how much she idolized Maya Moore. She talked about all the different greats before her that she really looked up to and have respect for. So I think from a selfish standpoint, from a fan standpoint, you could definitely go like, yeah, dog, she could go and grab that bread. She needs to grab that bread. We want to see her play with the dudes. But at the same time, if that's not in her heart and in the cards for her, then we got to respect what she wants to go do. And I don't think you and I are questioning that, but I just think it makes a great conversation because of nothing else.
Do they need dunks? Do they need some dunks?
So, Q, J Stocks, should the WNBA lower the rims to about 9 feet or 8 feet so they can catch more with two?
Listen, they've already, you know, this has been a debate already, and the WNBA players have squashed it and said, no, keep the rim where it is. Right. I think because, especially for your, you know, who the ones that were complaining about this or saying no are your shooters because they're so used to shooting it.
And it would mess up their shot. Right.
And mess up their shot. Absolutely. So, no, the shooters are not going to do it. You're going to have to wait a generation in order to do this, or maybe even two generations, to say, hey, we're lowering the rim at this point from, middle school girls all the way up.
We don't need to lower the rim because let's be real. Everyone who complains that there's no dunks in the WNBA are men. There's no woman that likes WNBA basketball that goes, you know what, I would watch it more if they had more dunks.
But they don't watch it anyway.
That's probably a good point. I'm not going to.
Women don't watch WNBA. They don't.
My wife watches the WNBA.
Because she played ball. Here's the thing. People that like basketball watch WNBA. That's my belief.
Okay.
And you can say what you want to. But people that like basketball watch women's basketball. Your casual fan don't watch women's basketball because it ain't for them. You would watch it if they had some dunks, would you? Would you? Because Lisa Leslie, she dunked in a game. She did.
I don't think it changes the casual fan if they dunk. I think that's a dude thing. I don't think women go, girl, I was gonna watch the game, and girl, you know they dunking now. Oh, they dunking. Oh, I'm definitely gonna watch it now. I don't know. Could be, maybe not.
I think if you and again, we're talking about women. I'm talking about the casual fan. I'm talking about the kids growing up. So the boys, girls, whomever. Listen, remember, the dunk contest used to be a thing.
And the WNBA dunk contest.
No, the NBA dunk contest used to be a thing. Now, not so much. But men, women, hoopers, and some sports fans will watch WNBA, not no regular type chick, though. That's your casual fan. And it's not just casual, it's not just the casual chick, as you put it. It is every casual fan. Any fan that's just watch it. You know. Our attention span is 3 to 5 seconds. We need variety. We get bored too fast just watching fundamental basketball. I get that. What up, Wallace? Good to see you, my man.
Wallace, what's happening? Q makes a point. The attention span is tough now. And even with sports fans, we talk about because of this TikTok generation, it is hard to pry them away and get them to want to do certain things because they are so used to, like, the 7 to 15 second algorithm hit and wanting to move on because their attention span has dwindled down. I still believe, and I know we can't stay on this one down forever. No. At the end of the day, the women's game needs Caitlin Clark. A year ago, I wouldn't have said that. But I think with Angel Reese declaring, her coming out, Paige Buecher, Beckers. Hey, Beckers, coming Beckers, from, from UConn. I mean, bro, and I loaded this show up with a lot of female basketball inquiries because it's great for the game. Dog, I swear to you, and we're going to talk about the next down. I watch more women's college basketball in these past 2 years, but especially this year.
Sure.
In the last 5-6 years, dog.
I told you why, though. I told you what you need in sports.
Don't say because of a villain. Bruh, I did not watch because of Angel Reese. Is she the new villain? She's the new villain.
Wow. Why? So, wait. Why did you say she's the villain?
Because that's the conversation we've had before, bro. Don't act like it just came in my mind automatically. We've never talked about that before.
Caitlin Clark is the villain in my story.
Okay. Now, see, your story and my story write and read differently. Because Caitlin Clark is the good old whole. That's not me. I'm saying how I think America portrays it. I think they portray her as the hero, the good girl, the all-American.
Right.
And Angel Reese is the trash talker.
Yes.
Villain. That's what I think.
But so she trash talks as well. That's what gets me. She trash talks as well. She
did. I'm just telling you what I think people's perception are, Jay.
I know. I understand.
I'm not trying to fix you or convince you of it.
You know what? Let's go into second down. Let's do it. Who's the best player in women's basketball? I don't even want to build up to nothing. Juju Watkins from USC, Caitlin Clark, the villain from Iowa, Angel Reese, America's sweetheart from LSU, and Paige Beckers, who's finally figured out how to play basketball, not being hurt from UConn.
What am I doing at? I'm shooting.
She's been hurt. She's been hurt. I watched the game. I follow this. I'm going to mess this girl's name up, but Daisha Fair.
Daisha Fair. Hey, man.
Daisha Fair from Syracuse.
Hey, man, first and foremost, Daisha Fair is a baller that no one talks about.
True.
I watched her in a tournament, and I was like, bruh, this girl can hoop. And they're talking about how she was so quiet in the first half, blew up in the second half. Was that you? That wasn't UConn they lost to, was it? Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
I can't remember the game they lost to in the tournament, but watching her play was crazy. Yeah. But going through this list, and all these girls are getting great notoriety and recognition right now, and rightfully so. But out of that list, if I had to pick one, I'm going to pick straight up Juju on that beat. Because if you watch Juju play, what she was able to accomplish as a freshman, all around games, where she can shoot, she can drive, and she can play defense, and she's just touching the surface. She ain't even cracked the surface yet. She's just putting feet on surface to what I think she can become. She's going to be better than all of the other four of these girls that we mentioned.
Here's where I have to obviously disagree.
It's okay.
Caitlin Clark is the best player in basketball. And I've seen where people have said she's legend, right? She's a legend. I think even Reed said legend. She's not a legend in all of basketball, but definitely in college. I watched the LSU game. Now I've watched her, but I'm going to tell you what I saw. Juju is nice, but Juju's a freshman. There's some things she's got to work on, right?
To get there. Facts. That's why I said just touching the surface.
Angel Reese is a great player, but there are things that she's got to work on. She cannot carry a team. Caitlin Clark has carried Iowa. If they win their ring, every Iowa player needs to make sure they have Caitlin Clark's name on their ring besides theirs. Actually, above theirs. Okay? Because that's the only reason they're there. I'm going to tell you a stat real quick, man. In the LSU game, Caitlin Clark had 41 points. She accounted for 43% of the total points that they scored. They scored 94.
So, Hold on.
All of LSU starters were in double digits. Ask me how many of Iowa starters were in double digits besides Caitlin Clark.
None. No, the one girl with the Afro puffs.
Two. There were two. Two. Okay. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. When she leaves, you will not hear about Iowa again.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
To me, that is what justifies the best player in college basketball.
I'm going to run it back a little bit and just say this. Granted, yes, she's the best player on her team. And she may get voted the best player in the nation this year for girls. But when it comes to all of these women that we just mentioned, Juju had more people that she could rely on to score, where Caitlin Clark does not. Just because you score a lot of points, that does not make you the best player.
A lot is 27. A lot is 30. She dropped 41 points on supposedly one of the best defenses in the land. 41. She did a heat check from the middle of the court.
Yeah.
The middle of the court.
Okay, so she got range for days. Not saying that.
And here's what I didn't call her
a scrub, J Stop.
No. I'm not saying you're not. Here's what's crazy. She still has potential to do better because her mid-range and float game is not there. Yeah. So when she develops that 17 to 20 footer,
can she develop that?
She's a shooter. I have to believe she can.
Okay.
I have to believe she can.
I like Paige Buchers a lot, but I really believe, man, and like I said, Don't get it twisted. I'm not taking away how good I think Caitlin Clark is and how great she is for the game.
Yeah.
But pure raw talent. See, I know Buff Nerd goes to bed when Big Game stays up late and watches his peoples out west. So you may not have seen a lot of the Juju phenomenon.
Juju's nice.
Like you've seen Caitlin. Because we know it's your night time at a certain time.
Juju's nice.
I mean,
but Juju ain't there yet. But next year, year after that,
I honestly think that she has the potential, to be the best. Look at what she did scoring wise, breaking the records of people at USC that and doing it as a freshman, right?
You know what's sad about this is the fact that. They got to wait. You know, I've said this countless times, but they got to wait until the 22 if they're coming through college. But if they go play professionally, they can come in and play. So they need to forego college, go play overseas, or go play for the Big Three, and then come into the WNBA. That's what they need to do.
But I think really now, Jay, the way it's working with the NIL money, that it can make in college.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's even going to be more than they're going to make overseas and rush into the WNBA to get paid.
True. And I think
they're going to use the NIL as that stepping stone to make that bread to bridge over till they go pro. And that's really what it's going to be. But needless to say, hey, man, if y'all checking it out, please let us know in the comments what you think. Who do you think the best player is and why? But like I said, I tip my hat. To women's college basketball this year because it's been awesomely entertaining.
Phenomenal. The last 2-3 years have been where it should have been for a long time. Third down. What Final Four will be more exciting, men's or women's? Women's Elite Eight had 13 million viewers, up 60% from last season. The men are averaging 15.1 million viewers, and I know there's been some debate as far as more people are watching women than men's. That's obviously not the case, okay? But I think when you look at the numbers comparatively with themselves, they have increased every single year.
Right.
And so it's exciting to watch women's games. Which one is more exciting? They're both equally exciting, right?
Yeah.
I think you'll want to watch both of them. You know, you'll want to watch UConn and Iowa to see Paige against Caitlin. You'll want to watch South Carolina and NC State, you know, and those two two Titans go at each other. They're both good teams with good, great coaches. So, I mean, it's going to be awesome, right? It's going to be great. With UConn, Alabama being in there, you're like, oh, wait, Saban's gone? So now they're a basketball team? You're a basketball school? Okay. So, you know, it's going to be good. Yeah. My man Burns, DJ Burns, yeah. I love this dude, man.
Yep. And then Zach Eby.
Yeah.
Eby and Purdue. Yeah, Zach Eby. Can they get over the hump and make it down? I think it's great storylines from both.
Yeah.
I had to put it in here to kind of play devil's advocate to try to play one against the other. At the end of the day, it's going to be entertaining for everyone. And I think if you're a real college basketball fan, you tune in, you watch, you enjoy. Sure. And, you know, then it makes a great conversation.
Yeah.
My bad, I'm typing in and talking. Which conversation, it makes a great conversation about what game is going to be the best. But at the end of the day, it's been great basketball on both sides. I love the NC State story. You know, their coach is probably a game away from getting fired, makes a run in their conference tournament, and now all the way to the Final Four as an 11 seed?
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
It's crazy to see that happen.
Yeah. So let's hit that fourth down, man. As time is slipping away, don't know if you've heard this, and this I thought this was very interesting, so I put this in. The Chiefs fans have decided and voted down, and this is Kansas City, Missouri, because that is where the stadium is located. They have voted down a 3/8 cent tax hike to renovate both the Royals, the Kansas City Royals, and the Kansas City Chiefs sports complex. I don't know if you've ever been to them recently. They look like they haven't changed in the past 20 some odd years. So, big game, it looks the same way than when you played.
Damn, I had to go to Rio. Damn, I couldn't even hit the button that time. Because it was raggedy back in 98 when I went there.
Yeah.
Actually, I take it back. It was 99. We went and played the Chiefs in the preseason.
Nothing has changed. Oh. So they voted it down. So here's the question. Their lease is up at 2031. Okay. It's about 7 years away. Could they realistically move? If they don't get could they move? Since they voted the tax hike down, there's been some, you know, little chatter around these parts here in Dallas, DFW area, fourth largest metro area in the nation, right? Hitting around 10 million. They're saying, hey, you know what? We can handle two professional football teams. LA has done it, right? New York has done it. Why not us?
I don't know if you can hear this right here. Jay.
Yeah.
New York has done it. LA has done it. The Bay Area, pretty much.
Oakland's Bay Area. Has done it. Yeah.
Not just no, hell to the no. I know that the tax got voted down. There's no way in the hell that the Red Kingdom is going to let the Chiefs get out of Kansas City, Missouri. There's no way. It's not going to happen. And there's no – okay, yeah. I'll put it like this. There's no way they end up here in the Dallas area. One, the Jones family ain't going to let that shit happen because they want to be the only train – they want to be the only circus in town.
Now,
they don't want any competition.
I hear that. Now, the mayor, the current mayor of Dallas, Eric Johnson, is starting to, you know, put that chatter out there as well. Hey, you know, a couple of years back, he was trying to court a team or trying to get the NFL to have another team in Dallas to play in the Cotton Bowl.
Right.
But it could be realistic, or could it be realistic?
It ain't going to be realistic if it's a damn Cotton Bowl. You ain't going to move an hour here to the Cotton Bowl.
I mean, they're already revamping the Cotton Bowl and stuff like that. I don't think the Chiefs are going to move to Texas.
Jay, look, you can't keep revamping. That's like putting a band-aid on something that needs stitches.
I hear what you're saying.
That shit got to get torn down. Now you said 7 years. Yeah, they could, and they want to gentrify the Fair Park
that whole area. Anyway. Yeah,
yeah, they want to gentrify.
Think about this. Think about this. 2031. Now I'm not saying anything. I don't wish ill will on anyone,
bruh.
But you know, Jerry will be in his 90s. And he already looked rough. And Steven may not have the pool that his daddy does. Could be a possibility, you know. And if the Dallas Cowboys keeps running the way they are, and you have a dynasty that is going on in Kansas City right now, and you have Texas's own Patrick Mahomes come back, and you know the Hunts are here in Dallas, the owners of the Kansas City Chiefs. I hear what everyone is saying. Dallas.
Bro, you done wrote Jerry off.
One, two, it's already happening. It's already, hey, oh yeah. Just done. It's a Q. I'm with you, man. One, two, it's already happening.
Q, you're a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yes.
And I know that's hard to admit sometimes. Now, Jay, this is okay. Would you guys, you Cowboys fans,
ooh,
if the championship red hot Chiefs,
yeah,
move into town?
Mm-hmm.
Would y'all jump ship
ooh,
and start liking the Chiefs?
Oh, that's tough.
No, it ain't tough. That's a simple question.
That's
are
tough.
You gonna jump ship, or are you justified saying, hey, I just root for my hometown?
You know what? You know what? It would definitely be like the Yankees and the Mets, right? Where you're like, the Yankees are my number one team. The Cowboys are my number one team. But the Chiefs would be my number two. Or maybe you would say, you know what? The Cowboys are my NFC team and the Chiefs are my AFC team.
Are you going to be one of them dudes? You're going to be one of them guys, huh? Hey, just the fact... Just the fact that you could think about switching over and jumping ship.
Not switching over. But, man, let me tell you.
Hey, man, the comments are coming in right now.
Some of them will. Some of them absolutely will. Hell yeah, they would. Yeah.
All right. Some of them would. Q said, hell no.
Q.
Hey, Q, you know JD would bring you a cheese hat to the shop when they come get that paper from you, bro. He would definitely bring you a hat.
I mean, look, I'm Cowboys, I'm blue and silver through and through, man. No, Q. Cheer for the Texans before you cheer for the Chiefs? No, sir.
Hey, you know what? Just the talk of jumping ship. And now having Q talk about he gonna cheer for the Texans, Chase Logs, you know what that make me say?
Oh, me too. Hit it.
Oh hell no! Oh hell no! Oh hell no!
Oh hell no!
Oh hell no!
Oh hell no!
Oh hell no!
That's right. This is the segment where we see things and hear things that make us say, oh hell no.
Man. I can't believe how crazy that got right there, bro. Man,
that's awesome. That's why I put that in there, man.
Hey,
that's something to contemplate. We're gonna watch it though.
If the Chiefs move to Dallas, I still won't nobody in this damn city.
What? That's fine.
All right.
Chief Kingdom versus Cowboy Nation. Wow.
Hunt family does have big ties in North Texas.
Huge ties. Are you kidding me? They have what they, when the Chiefs and the Cowboys play, they have Preston, they call it the Preston Road Championship or something like that. Like they live close.
Yeah.
They're really close to each other.
Hey, man.
What's up?
I know you got one. Yeah. I got one. I got one that just really knocked my socks off.
Oh yeah, this is ridiculous.
I couldn't believe it. Who usually goes first here? Is it me or you? I can't even remember what.
You always go first, man.
My bad. Don't you said that like you said that like you had attitude today with because I go first. Anyway, man. So I'm scrolling through the internet, man, and when I saw this, I literally said, "And Jay, from us doing this segment so many times, I was like, oh hell nah." I said it just by reading, and I was like, "Oh damn, I guess that's gotta be my hell nah." The New York City Marathon. You know, there's marathons all over the country, and
Texas.
You know, it's marathons all over the country.
Right.
The New York City Marathon was kind of big.
Yeah, it's huge.
The New York City Transit Authority has come up with the idea of charging the organizers of the New York City Marathon a toll for having people cross the bridge of the race. The bridge that they cross in New York is the Venegaza Bridge. I wrote this very small. I can't read it. But anyway, for the amount of people that come to New York and run, the transit authority says that the equivalent amount from the runners that they get from the amount of cars that travel the bridge would be $750,000.
Do it.
You want to charge race organizers $750,000 for people running across the bridge, and it's mainly Ethiopians and Kenyans. I just don't understand. Tell me I'm lying.
You need to stop. There's some of them that do that. There's a lot of different people. You need to yourself with that one.
Give me damn all hell no. Hey, $750,000 New York City Transit to toll people, make people pay a toll for running across the bridge in the next couple years. That's all hell no to me. Sit back, relax, do your due diligence, enjoy your Sunday, drink your coffee, eat your donut, let them folk run across your bridge. The police gonna be blocking it off. Cars can still get by on the other side. Everybody gonna be okay. Oh hell no!
I mean, just find a new route. Ugh. Just do a different route. Anyway,
yeah, it's prestigious, man, and a cornerstone and a staple. Why we gotta retrain the route?
Because it costs you $750,000. That's why.
Damn!
Come on, be smart. You know, it's still New York. Ugh. What are we doing? But, you know, whatever. Big news down here in the Big D. Apparently, people like to race. Especially if you are a football player by the name of Rashee Rice. Now, story is this. Two cars leased in his name or that bears his name, right? One was a Corvette. The other was a Lamborghini. Were racing down the freeway. Not at night, not on a day when there's, you know, little traffic. No, just regular day, racing down 75. They caused, I believe it was six if you include this. So it was a six-car collision. The occupants of the Lamborghini, four of them get out of a Lamborghini. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Then another person gets out of the Corvette, right? Supposedly, there's other stories are coming out. Allegedly, there was a bag and cleats that were taken out of the vehicles, and they went away. Like, they walked away from the crash. Didn't check on nobody, nothing. He's retained a lawyer, Royce West, who's really known around here. He's a former Texas state senator, legislator. But here's out of all of that, and all of that's a whole, oh, hell no. And he's turned himself in, right? But out of all of that, why are you racing an SUV against a Corvette? I know it's, but it's still a Lamborghini SUV.
Hey, them things fly though, bro. And they look good too.
They really don't. It's a Lamborghini, you know. And then on top,
they don't look good, Jay.
No, it's an SUV. It's fine. I don't care. And then on top of that, you're leasing this for 3 months at $10,000 a month. I mean, I just, and that's just one vehicle. That's just one.
So, are you mad that he's leasing it, or no. Now we could talk about the do's and the don'ts and the smart and the dumb stuff amongst yeah. football players. That could be a whole oh hell nah show, oh, not just a yeah. segment.
Right there,
right? No doubt. So, I told you a long time ago. And I did this. If y'all ever go to the Games Extra Point playlist and check out some of those Game Extra Points, choices, decisions, and consequences. And now the Chiefs have to worry and wonder what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. Thank God there's no one got killed in this car accident. Yeah,
minor.
Thank God no one got killed. But you make a decision to race on 75 against another car and then crash and bail out.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in the world ain't got camera phones now. They take pictures of the license plates and everything else. You knew it was all about to come back to you.
But and yet, there's video of it. There's actual video of the crash that someone had. That had a Garmin, you know, sitting up on the dashboard. So they had a dash cam. And here's what's even more crazy. This dude made $1 million. Like, that's his contract. It's $1 million a year.
Say it with your chest, Jay. You can't be quiet.
Spotify don't oh, work. Hell no. Nah. What?
Hey, guys. Hey, if y'all know, Rashee Rice from the North Texas area. Man, if y'all know him, please tell that young man to make better choices, because he did not make a very good decision on this one. Hey, man, we're gonna keep it moving. Let's we can sit there all day.
Oh, I don't want to. Let's go. Between the Lines. Let's get it.
Between the Lines, powered by Loyal to Ash Cigar Subscription. Get your subscription today.
Man, look, you see we coming with the fire tonight. That's Big Game doing it. That's nice,
hey,
bro.
Man, shout out to my boy Q for the beats, man. Q. Hey, I finally figured it out, brother. Thank you, Q.
Thank you. Between the Lines is where we talk about all of the things that, well, some of the things, because we can say all of them. But these are some of the headlines that are going on in NFL. Biggest thing right now, Bills trade their number one receiver, Stephon Diggs, to the Texans, right? Bills get 2025 second round pick, 2024 sixth round pick, and 2025 fifth round pick. Now, here's the other part that just kind of came out today with this trade. The Texans, right, they take Diggs. What they've done is they've wiped out his 3 years. And they've said, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're now playing on a one-year contract. That guaranteed money that you had for next year, we're bringing it up to this year. So, hey, you're on a one-year, prove it to the rest of the league, prove it to us. Contract. So they're renting him. They're leasing him for $23 million, which is kind of a steal when you think about number one receivers in the league.
Hey, what's the highest paid receiver, mate?
Oh, gee. Appreciate the like. Man, I got to look that up. Hold on.
This, I don't know. But if you're the Texans, he's got years left on it. You want Stroud to have that go-to target for a while now, right? Why do you go 1 year on the deal? Why not go longer?
I mean, I kind of get it. So the highest paid is Tariq Hill, averaging $30 million a year.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not bad when you're talking about Stephon Diggs. But here's the word on Stephon Diggs. He is not a good teammate. That's the word around the league that he's not a good teammate.
Wow.
Right? Minnesota has some issues there. Didn't like what was going on. Said, you know what? This place is busted. It's whack. Gets traded to the Bills. You know, things are great. And then things are not so great. So they decide, or he decides, hey, you know what? I don't like this place. It sucks. My quarterback, he sucks.
Just straight up, huh? Like, I don't like it. Sucks.
It sucks. So they trade him. So instead of having the headache of, you know what, 3 years, he's probably going to say Stroud sucks. Let's just play him on a one. Now, one on one, see what happens. Appreciate the like.
Do you think, don't you think some of his feelings in Buffalo were warranted? And also Minnesota, man. Also Minnesota. The reason I say that, you think about it, he had Case Keenum as his quarterback a couple times before Kirk Cousins.
But gang,
go ahead, man.
Do you call out your quarterback?
I mean, sometimes no, sometimes yes. Did his quarterback deserve to be called out? Because this is the thing. A lot of times when brothers speak their mind and say what they think or say what other people are thinking and feeling, they get called the bad guy. And the quarterback is the guy that's normally protected. Sometimes the quarterback deserves to be called out.
The quarterback is always going to be protected.
That doesn't make it right.
I didn't say it wasn't. All I'm saying is you can't do this. Not in the league and not expect blowback. You can't expect that.
You can't be the man and then be in your feelings when somebody call you out about it. That's part of being the quarterback. Hey, when things are going great, you get the pat on the back and the that a boy. When things are going bad, you get the all hell nah, you suck, you stink, you trash. You know how it goes.
Yes, but the quarterback is the one that is going to have to hold that crown. Right, win or lose, it's always on the quarterback. Even if your defense sucks, it's on the quarterback. Right, because the quarterback should have been good enough to get them out that hole. And that's just the way it is. Uh-huh. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. That's just the way it is. But if your teammate is sitting out there saying, you know what, he just ain't that good. It's his fault. I need the ball more. If he would throw me the ball more, we would win. I mean, even when we talk about CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, right? And CeeDee had to come back and say, you know what? I was wrong. I shouldn't have thrown that tantrum on the sideline. I shouldn't go out and do those things. I mean, hell, T.O. had to come back crying. That's my quarterback. That's my quarterback.
But did he treat Tony Romo the same way that Stephon Diggs treated Josh Allen is the question.
I mean,
in the locker room,
but that
was his voice's opinion.
Well, okay, but he had to come back and say, "Listen, y'all are reading too much into this."
True. Okay,
that's my guy. That's my guy. Right? He had to do that. He never did that with Big Face though. In Philly,
Donovan McNabb, you called that man
Big Face. Have you seen his face? It's big. It's Big Face.
That man. Yeah, I mean, I hit him in his face.
You are now my hero. I mean, you already were, but now even more.
Damn.
Say, bro. I mean, I'm not mad at Steph. I mean, Stephon Diggs is a talent.
Yeah,
he's still a top 10 receiver in the NFL. You know, I heard a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans, well, he's going to come to Dallas and play with his brother. They wanted that a lot.
It'd been great.
So he can be very useful in Houston. And maybe them doing this the way they did and giving him his money in this 1 year's time will also open the door for renegotiation as they go through the season and see how this marriage works, right?
Yeah.
I understand that. You know, at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, sometimes when a guy doesn't want to be in a certain place anymore, it's time to let him go and move on. So I believe Buffalo did the right thing.
Yeah.
Did they get maybe all the pieces a lot of people think they should have? Maybe, maybe not. But nevertheless, they have that. If he was a cancer, I'm not saying that. So don't nobody go, hey, man, Big Game says Stephon a cancer. I don't know that. No. I've never been in the locker room with him. I haven't talked to anybody that's played with him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know the talent he has. Right. But for some reason, if he and Josh Allen couldn't get along, we know Josh Allen ain't going nowhere. One of them had to go. Diggs was the one. I think both sides actually win in this trade.
For sure. For sure. But here's what's great about this, okay? Texans are a young team, okay? The Texans are a young team. We, especially when we talk about the wide receivers that they have, right, with Nico Collins and Tank Dell, who was amazing. You got Dalton Schultz sitting at tight end. Like, they're good. So Stephon Diggs, what he does is he brings, veteran status in that wide receiver room on the line, and he's a number one receiver. Man, come on. I mean, dude, this.
Hey, man, it's good. Like I said, not mad at it. It happened.
Yeah.
Whatever the reason was, reason being, both teams are going to benefit from it. I believe Stephon's going to play to try to get that deal that he really wants off of this one. And to more importantly, knowing that that window of opportunity is going to close soon, he's got to try to align himself with the right squad to hopefully maybe win one day.
Let me ask you an unbiased question.
Okay.
Do you believe the Houston Texans are the best NFL team now in Texas?
Yes. Honestly say that. And I wouldn't have said that before that playoff game and seeing what D'Amico Ryans was able to get that defense to do. I did not think that the Texans were going to be ready. And Stroud made a believer out of me. I thought he was all hype coming out of Ohio State. I thought that he was going to be thrown into the fire too early. And Lord knows he was not thrown in too fast. He was ready to go.
Yeah. Diggs should have handled it in-house instead of going out public. I agree with you, Wallace. And that's the issue there. But, yeah, I do think the Houston Texans are the best team in the best NFL team in Texas now.
Hey, Wallace, that's all the way 100. And we say that all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, when things go on NFL teams all the time, think about it. Mm. You got 53 guys on the active roster. You got it used to be 7 on the practice squad. I think it's 10 now they can have on the practice squad.
10, yeah.
You're not always going to get along. People are it's always going to be heads clashing, and there's always going to be tempers and things going on, right? Yeah. You're right. You are supposed to handle that in-house. It's not supposed to get out. But at the same time, some guys are going to always speak their mind. I played with several of them. Not on paper. Did they beat the Cowboys this year? Did they play?
No, they didn't play. Not this year.
Thank God, because they would have beat the Cowboys.
Listen, Q, we cut you off, but we meant to. Listen, Q, that's cool. the problem with this statement is on paper, and also, yes, on paper, they first of all have more players in positions than the Cowboys do. Like, we ain't got nobody.
We ain't got nobody.
Who's the running back for the Dallas Cowboys right now?
I think Rico Dowdle? Buff Nerd.
Rico, man, hey. You know what I'm saying? I'm so tired of the Cat Williams memes about his 40. Like, oh, he's trying out for the start. Come on, man. Stop it. But realistically, that's why you said on paper. But hey, who do we have? We don't have a running back. We don't have a number 2 receiver. We don't have a right tackle. Oh, hell, a left tackle. We don't know who's going to get kicked out. You know, to play left tackle, you may keep Tyron there. Man, I'm telling you, when you look at the Texans, they are a contender within their own conference. Like, I cannot discount them from going deep in the playoffs.
So do you put them ahead of Jacksonville now?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And of course, Indianapolis, not knowing what Anthony Richardson will do next
year.
They'll win the
South. They'll win the South. And depending on their place, I'm going to put it like this, man. I think they will probably be the second or third seed in the AFC.
Huh? Yeah. Really?
Yep.
So Chiefs?
Yeah.
Ravens? Texans?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I think we had all that between the lines we need tonight. Randy Gregory going to the Buccaneers on a 1-year deal. Shit. Anyway. Well, I was going to ask you because, Randy Gregory was on your team for a while.
And he was.
Looked to have promise. Yeah. I was really, real quick. What should the people in Tampa expect from Randy Gregory?
If he's healthy, if he stays healthy, great asset.
Now, great asset. Healthy means stay clean also? Stay off the wacky tobacco?
Healthy. Okay. Stay healthy.
All right. All right, man. Well, you know, hey, you know what time it is. Let's keep this puppy going, brother, man.
Stay healthy. Hey, it is time for the top five.
It's time for the top five. Who's in? Who's out? What's in? What's out? Big Game Sports Game. Top five.
That's right. Top five. Some people have a top 100. Some have a top 50. Some have a top 25. Some even punk out and have a top 10, but not here at Big Game Sports Buzz. Top five, who's in, who's out, what's in, what's out. This evening on this podcast, yes, it is top five championship rings, all sports, all time. Of course, any way that I can stump Big Game and make him upset with me and say, man, I got to go do research. Yes, you do. I love it. He hates it.
I do. I graduated a long time ago, man. I don't like doing research. Actually, I did go back to school, get my master's not that long ago, but still. Nevertheless, to go through all these rings, and Jay, I'm going to say this, yep. Give my little disclaimer before I read my list. Y'all like it or not, it is what it is. You know, rings are special. Rings mean a lot to a lot of different people for sure. A lot of different reasons, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the simplicity of rings early on were awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm a kind of a bling blow kind of guy when it comes to the championship ring. Like, yeah. I wanted to be like, God, dog, what you win? That's what I like.
Right, so right.
When I came up with this list, that's what I did. All right, so first and foremost, the 2020 Alabama Crimson Tide championship ring. The diamonds, the foot with the A in it, and the two national championship trophies behind it, man. It looked really cool. The next 2022 Georgia Bulldogs, a little bit of a homer on that pick.
Yeah. So,
the G, the two trophies, the way they did it.
Nice. That was
great,
nice.
Great design. The next one, 2021. And, like, yes, all these are from the 20s because they're becoming – they got bigger and more diamonds. Mm. The Atlanta Braves. Man, it was really clean. I love that Atlanta A. But they took a little something. You slide it to the side, and down inside the ring is a little replica of their baseball stadium. I thought that that was clean.
That's pretty tight.
A whistle. Really cool. So I got the Atlanta Braves at number three. Number two. Never in a million years would have thought that I liked this ring. And when I was looking through this, man, the Milwaukee Bucks and the deer.
You like that?
And it's the way the deer, the basketball falls on how the deer and the you got all the diamonds around it and the green emeralds in the middle for the deer with that basketball. It's something about it, dude. The deer logo is kind of, I never thought that Bambi could be tough. The deer logo rock kind of cool on that thing, man. I got to give it up to him. Don't hate me, bro. It's all good.
I'm not hating.
And my number one championship ring.
Yeah.
My number one championship ring. The 2020 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I knew you such a homer. Bruh. Homer, man.
Jay Stocks, look at the ring. The way they got the big Buccaneers flag on that. That, too, with the Buccaneers started the trend where you slide it over and Raymond James Stadium is engraved down homer. Inside such that homer. Ring.
Which they got so from the fresh. Such a homer. So,
that's what we got to do. We got those stipulations on why we got rings and stuff.
No. Nope. Not at all. It's your list. It sucked. That's your list.
My list sucked?
Didn't say that. Did I say that? I probably did.
It sounded like you did a little bit, but guess what?
What's up? It's my time. Hey, I want to share my. Can I hit this present thing? Let me see if it works. I've never done this before. I'm so excited.
Yeah, hit present. Oh, you made a slideshow.
Yeah, I made a slideshow, man.
You didn't tell me we're doing visual props, Jay. I could have got. You
bastard. Let me see if I can make this work. Here we go. Know what I'm doing.
You don't.
I do, but I don't.
So you gotta go present. You gotta go share Google and bring up the slides, and it'll make you and I a little over here.
Yeah. I got you. Here we go. Boom. Here it is. Ah, yeah.
Now add that to the screen. There you go.
Yes, sir. So
you're doing a little history lesson and shit.
Let's go. Hey, first of all, whatever. This is, of course, is in no particular order. This ring right here is the 2000. Get this right. Make sure I get this right. The 2004 Tampa Bay Lightning Championship Stanley Cup ring. Okay. Let me tell you something. Okay. This ring, to me, is so dope because of the colors that are in there. And they have the Stanley Cup in there. I was like, yo, this is different. This was different. And I like the shape. I like the square shape. It was just dope. Thanks, sir. Thank you. I'm not a Lakers fan, but when you put three pyramids there with the purple, with the back.
Back to back.
The 2002 Lakers three-peat ring. Yo, this is dope. This is a dope ring. I love it. Again, square shape. But yo, this one hit me. I was like, ooh.
Okay. It is cool. It looks like a Johnson's class ring.
Yeah. But it's cool, you know.
Ooh, you put a Yankees ring up?
Listen, let me tell you something, okay? I debated because I was like, there ain't no way I can just. But when I saw it, the design raised up. Hey, that thing is dope, man. I love it. I love it. I love it with the black and the diamonds on it. It's everything. Of course, I got to put on the newest ring to grace everyone's visage, the Texas Rangers championship ring. And what I love about it is the fact, whatever, bro. First of all, what I love about it is, yes, it's huge. This thing is monstrous, okay? It takes up like three fingers, okay? And it sits on one ring. But the cool part is, of course, when you take off the top part, man, what you got in there? 11-0, road dominance. They have the country on there, crisscrossing all the places where they beat them boys down. I love it. Absolutely great. Fantastic ring. And, of course, the future Dallas Chiefs.
The Dallas Chiefs.
Nah, I mean, hey, look. I've actually seen this ring up close and personal. This thing is amazing. I'm with you with the bling bling, man, with the red. I love the colors. This was very tough, but yo, this one, I was like, okay, I got to put this in because this is an awesome ring. And that is my top five. Yeah, it is one of the coldest ever, man. Yeah. The triangle. Dude, thank you. Cute. So it's for the triangle offense. I would have never thought about that, man.
Yeah, we know. Buff. You're awesome. A buff nerd, but your buff brain didn't work on that.
Because hey, it's man, the
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of hating right now, bro.
Why are you hating, man?
Because like you didn't tell me to do like we should do visuals and shit. And you okay. It is. I got you, dog. Got you. You know, so you come out all professional. Hey, I have a little something to show tonight. You're going to show your little Google slides of your ring so you can see it. Hey, Big Game Sports Buzz fans, your boy Big Game James will have something on the TikTok and everything else that y'all can check out and like and see these rings since the buff nerd didn't tell me shit about showing rings and stuff tonight. Yeah, dog, he went there. He went there. And I'm mad. I'm hot as fish grease right now, bro. Man, I ain't going to lie to you.
I like that, man. Wow. Wow.
It's okay, man.
Well, look,
I'm happy. I'm happy, man.
I'm trying to step up.
You don't normally do.
I stepped out of my, you know, my realm there, and I'm trying to get more buff, you know, buff nerd. Yeah. Hey,
I know we gotta go, but you know what you did? What? You the dude who invited me,
to
your homeboy birthday party.
Yep.
And then tell me when I got there that it was an all white party. You had me walk in my regular shit. And it's an all-white party. That's what you just did.
Jeans and a black polo.
Jeans and a cool little shirt. Like, yeah, I'm straight. I got my psycho bunny out. Bruh, it's all white. Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you. It's an all-white party. Make sure you wear white. That's what you did.
Wait. The all-white linen party.
All-white linen. And I got on some Levi's and a black polo and some J's or something. Yeah. And it's all white. And, of course, you know. Yeah, it's cool.
That's right, Q. Get out the box, big dog. Listen, you do big things, man. Hey, all those intros, look, I had to step my game up once I saw what was going on. Like, ooh, we We doing big things here at Big Game Sports Buzz, BGSE Network.
Hey man, tell the people what to find us and thank them for tuning in, man, so we can get on out of here, man. They goddamn, hey, great show. Hey man, to everybody that tuned in tonight, I'm gonna cut the buff nerd off because goddamn it, that's what I'm doing right now. You made me mad. Thank y'all for tuning in. We appreciate y'all so much. Remember to catch us on all your podcast platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and even Apple Music. If you like the show, check out the link below. Y'all can donate to the channel. And until next time, for that little short dude over there, the buff nerd,
let's
I'm your boy Big Game James. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's Big Game, Big Game, analysis from the player's point of view, injuries, big trades, player news, yeah.